hell that I was in, I'd do anything to be better.
I thought like a lunatic.
You kind of just have like that little bit of hope that it will get better.
You're gonna make it.
This began my surrender.
I am a witness of my own growth.
It's a life beyond your wildest dreams, and I just have to say, it works if you work it.
My story, that's what I share.
You're listening to Far From Finished, a weekly podcast where we share new, real-life stories of hope and triumph, told by the people who live them. Today's story comes to us from...
My name's Sarah. I'm a heroin addict, and I'm 25 from Las Vegas, and I went to Solutions out here. It's a recovery center. I had a pretty good childhood. Like, my parents were awesome. I was very spoiled. I shouldn't have went off the deep end, but I did, you know. I mean, every, like, teenager experiments with, like, weed and, like, ecstasy and all that stuff sometimes, I guess. But I started doing that, and then right before I turned 18, I had moved to Maryland for an ex-boyfriend, and then I ended up moving back to Vegas, and I didn't know, but heroin became a huge epidemic. And I was just chilling with my friend, and we couldn't get weed, so she was like, do you want to do some heroin? And I was like, okay, you know, because, like, I would do whatever. I was never addicted to anything. You know, I would do coke maybe a little too much sometimes, so maybe then I should have knew that I was an addict, but I didn't really know about addiction or anything yet. So, yeah, so when I got back from Maryland, moved back to Vegas, I started doing heroin, but only, like, here and there, you know, like only a couple times a week or whatever. And then I met this guy, and he became my boyfriend, and he was doing heroin with me every day. And I always said that he was the reason that I got addicted to heroin, but like 7 years later, I learned that that obviously was wasn't the reason. You know, it was totally me. I had a decision, you know, to do it or not, and I chose to do it. But the problem was, is it became a physical addiction, and I started needing it every day. Yeah, I mean, we were just getting it. He would get it for me, and, you know, he would bring it to me, and I was spoiled in that way. I didn't have to do anything. And then he had to start selling heroin in order to support both of our habits. And then he got arrested. So I had to go over to his mom's place and pick the bag of heroin up. And I had to start selling it. And so, I mean, I had a lot, you know. I didn't have to worry about it. But once I stopped re-upping every day, you know, getting more, I had to go ahead and get a job. So I had like 2 weeks to get a job, and I did it. And then, of course, I needed another job because that wasn't enough. So I had to get a second job. But before I got that second job, I actually started stealing money from my first job because I wanted to get coke. So this is where I should have knew that I had a problem with coke too, because I started stealing money for that. And then I had to start stealing money to get heroin as well because the check wasn't enough. I was justifying it because I worked at a place where they wouldn't let us take our tips. So I was like, well, you know what? This is f***ing. I'm going to take all my new tips, plus I'm going to take all the money that I turned down before, all the money I was over on my drawer because my tips, and, you know, I'm going to get that back. So that's how I justified it. So, yeah, and then, you know what? I ended up getting pneumonia from doing too much coke, and my skin, like, broke. I have perfect skin, you know, but it broke out, and I thought there was stuff in my skin. I don't know what was going on. I think I might have had, like, a bacteria infection or something like that, but it was freaking gross, and, like, I got pneumonia, and I could barely smoke heroin. Like, I was afraid I wasn't even going to get, like, better from smoking it or whatever, but I was able to take a few hits and be okay. But, yeah, but I stopped doing the coke, you know, because, I mean, just was ruining my life, basically. I mean, my problem is with heroin. I was doing it for like 6 years at that point. The coke, like, really took a toll on my body, like, you know, physically and everything. And I'd be like, I wouldn't even be nodding out at work because the heroin. I'd be nodding out because I didn't get enough sleep because the coke, you know what I'm saying? So I, like, calmed down with the coke, probably because I didn't even have enough money for it, you know, and I just stuck with the heroin. But what happened was is when I was doing the coke and the heroin, I started to sell my body for a few days. I found this guy, and he, and like, you know, he did drugs with me, and then he was like, well, and I, like, wanted to date him. Like, I'm really quick with it, you know? Like, if I like someone, I just want to date them, like, right off the bat, right? So I started, he was like, I'll only date you if you be my whore. And I was like, fuck, you know, I need to, like, whore, I need to make my, I had a job, right? I think I had two jobs at that point. I know I quit one of them because I was stealing money, and freaking, they were like, Sarah, there's some weird stuff going on. And I was like, oh shit, yeah, time to quit, you know? So I quit that one. I was at the other job, and I was like, well, this isn't enough money, so I got to do something, you know? And at that point, I'm trying to support a heroin and coke addiction. So I went ahead and started to whore myself for 3 days only, but still, like, you know, it's like, and I mean, I don't regret anything I did because it's a learning experience, and I just know that I will never go there again, you know? And it, you know, I know that I'm better than that. But, I mean, that's how far it went, like, something I thought I would never do. It's not that I was, like, so against it, but I just never thought that was me, you know? Like, I went there, and I was like, this guy obviously doesn't want to be with me. He just wants me to be his whore. And I'm like, he's not even worth it, even if he did want to be with me. Like, why am I going to be your whore? Just to be your girlfriend, and plus I need the money, right? And he's trying to get me to go out of town and stuff and do that whole thing. And I'm like, no, dude, no. So I just stuck with my job and getting whatever I could to support my heroin habit. And I was doing all right. And then I was at the bus stop, and I met this guy. And he didn't know I was a heroin addict. I was just high, like, off weed when I met him, and he knew I was stoned. And then I ended up going over to his house, and I pulled out coke, and he was all stoked because he did that, you know. But then I pulled out heroin, and he was like, oh, shit. And I told him what it was, and, you know, I did it with him. Like, he actually had a friend that was addicted to heroin, so he knew about it, but he never really did it. So, yeah, I smoked it with him. Yeah, because I've never shot up. I've just smoked it, you know, because I'm afraid that, like, I would definitely overdose. You know, I don't know what I'm doing. But, yeah, so I smoked it with him. I saw him a few times, and then I ended up moving in with him because my parents, they really would never catch me doing drugs. But when I was on that coke and that heroin, like, I wasn't paying attention to what the hell was happening, and I didn't have a lock on my door, and they were busting in. My mom came in, like, 4 a.m. on our anniversary and, like, saw me doing drugs, you know, and I was like, shit, I gotta get out of here. And they're like, you just want to move out so you can do drugs. And it's like, I mean, really, though, right? So that guy that I met at the bus stop, he became my boyfriend, and he ended up picking me up and letting me move into his apartment. And he had gotten into a few car accidents, so the heroin really helped his back. I mean, he was supposed to be getting medication, you know? This was his excuse, you know what I'm saying? Like, this was his excuse to do heroin. And he was already an alcoholic, though. And the reason why I say that is because he beat me almost every day. Like, it was like a honeymoon phase at first, but then he was beating me every day. He would just punch me in the head. He strangled me. He's taken a knife to me. He's stabbed me in the ear. He's thrown me on the ground and stomped my ribs out. Like, he's done it all. Actually came into solutions with a huge black eye from him. Like, it was pretty bad. And he would abuse me verbally as well. Like, call me a whore and kick me off the bed and all this crazy stuff. And I would have to plug my ears in order to go to sleep. But I thought I almost deserved it because, you know, smoking heroin with him every day, you know, and it's good for his back, but then it turned into a physical addiction, just like the alcohol, that problem that he had. I thought I deserved it almost because I got him addicted to heroin, right? So then it goes back to when my ex got me addicted to heroin, right? And I didn't learn until I went through the program at Solutions that, you know what, it wasn't my fault that my ex got me addicted, and then I got my ex-fiance addicted. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was all of our own decisions to do what we did, and I didn't deserve getting hit every day. Freaking, but it's almost good because, well, what happened was is I had moved out of his apartment because it got really bad. I had to call my dad at night and be like, Dad, you need to come get me. I think he's going to kill me. And then his mom ended up coming over, and then he's an alcoholic, so he gets really drunk, and he's, like, falling over, and, like, weird stuff would go on with his heart, and I'm just like, you know, I can't just leave this kid. Like, I love him, you know what I'm saying? I can't just, like, leave him, because his mom was like, you know what? He's an alcoholic. He hasn't done anything about it. I'm just going to leave him. Something happens to him. Something happens to him. And I'm like, even though this kid, like, beat me all night and everything, I can't leave him. So I stayed. But then, a couple of days later or something, I ended up leaving for a few days. I went to my friend's house, and, like, he was no better. Like, I was smoking heroin with him, and freaking he was doing meth with me and stuff. But what happened was my ex, he called me 400 times while I was gone. He also came to my friend's apartment and was, like, kicking the door in and stuff and jumping over the balcony and trying to get to me. He was having people watching me. And I'm on meth. Like, I'm thinking I'm seeing shit, you know? I'm thinking I'm seeing people by the window and stuff. But no, he was really outside about to shoot up the house. Like, he was really there. I wasn't imagining these things, right? So one morning when my friend's sleeping, he told me that he would give me money to get some heroin because I was dope sick, you know? And he was sleeping, so I just took the money out of his wallet, which later on my dad ended up going and giving the money back to him because I wasn't just taking it, I was going to give it back to him. Well, while he was sleeping, I had called my ex because I wanted to be with my ex, but I didn't want to be one of those girls who goes back and gets beat again. You know what I'm saying? And I say that I didn't want to look that way to my friends and family, but it was really just to my friend because he was like letting me stay there. He's supporting my heroin habit. You know, I didn't want to look like one of those girls that just goes back. But I trusted that, like, he wouldn't beat me again, you know? And so I called him, and he was freaking overdosing, like, as I'm calling him. And he's like, I was drifting off. If you didn't call me, like, I would have died. And I'm like, oh, my God. I was like, you know what I said? I was like, do a whole bunch of coke to get your heart rate up. Like, my dumb ass is saying that. But anyways, he came and got me, is the point. I went back to him, and everything was good for, like, a week or something. We ended up having to move into my parents' house because we couldn't afford heroin and the apartment anymore. So we moved into my parents' house. And he wasn't really beating me at my parents' house. You know, we'd still get into really bad fights, but he wasn't, like, hitting me and stuff. But I ended up having to forge checks. He actually got fired from his job because he got in a fight, which wasn't his fault. It doesn't even matter. But, yeah, I started forging checks with my parents, started pawning things, you know. I had never stolen from my parents before. I'd never done anything. Like, my habit was my habit, and I'm going to take care of it. But it got to that point where I had to forge checks of my parents. I had to make him go in the bank and do this stuff. Like, I had to pawn my mom's watch, you know. I had to do all this stuff. And so once they found out about the checks, we got kicked out. So then we went to his parents' house, which obviously we didn't say why we got kicked out of the house, out of my parents' house. So we were staying there. And freaking, it got really bad when we got there. He was beating me all the time. That's where he threw me on the ground, stomped me in my ribs, stabbed me in the ear with a pen, and all this stuff. And somehow, like, we were getting means to get our heroin. I don't even know how. I don't even know what we were doing, like. But eventually, I had to panhandle for, like, 5 days, and I was going and doing that. And it's, like, 115 degrees in Vegas during the summer, you know what I'm saying? And I'm, like, getting super skinny. I'm getting super burnt, you know, but I'm doing what I got to do. And, like, he's not even doing it, but I wouldn't ask my man to go and do that. You know, he offered, but he really wasn't down for it, you know. So at that point, I'm supporting him. But he thought it was okay because in the beginning, he was supporting me when I moved in, you know. Like, he had a huge settlement, and he's like, well, we spent 10 grand and da-da-da. So it's, like, my turn, you know, to do all this. So I'm doing that. But I end up getting bronchitis, okay. And I have to go out in 115-degree weather and get this money on the corner. You know what I'm saying? Like, asking random people for money. Like, humiliating, right? So freaking, I had already been, like, calling my parents because I would never let myself get dope sick. Until I got with him, that's when I started getting dope sick. For some reason, it just wasn't working out. He would smoke all the heroin, and I would have nothing in the morning, you know. Like, and then at that point, we weren't making money, so I started getting really dope sick, and I would call my parents and be like, Mom, Dad, like, I need to go to rehab. Because I had went one time before that. I had went to detox because I didn't have enough money. This is, like, 2 years into my addiction. And I didn't have enough money, and I was like, okay, well, I need detox, right? It was more of, like, a detox place out in California. It wasn't really rehab, no meetings or nothing like that. And then so my parents were like, okay, yeah, well, we don't have insurance, Sarah, so you're going to have to wait it out. And they were thinking it wasn't that bad because they thought that I had quit since this, like, 5 years ago. They thought I quit. They thought I was off the shit until, like, they caught me and, like, I had to move in with him. And then even when I was in the house with him, like, they thought I quit then. So, like, they thought, like, I had moments of sobriety and it was, like, easy to do or whatever. Even though my mom saw me with withdrawals, like, I don't know, it's kind of like, they're not trying to see what's really going on, you know what I'm saying? So they thought I was sober since I, like, moved out of their house. And so, I don't know, they thought I was sober for, like, I don't know, like 6 months or something. Like, they thought I was cool. Because when they caught me in their house, they thought I was just doing it for fun, the heroin, you know? They didn't know, like, I was addicted. Like, I was 5 years ago, you know what I'm saying? Because it had been 7 years at that point. But, yeah, so they're like, Sarah, and I was like, I have been doing heroin for 7 years, you guys. I haven't had any clean time. Like, as soon as I got back from that detox program 5 years ago, which was only 2 weeks that I was sober, I have done it every day. Because there wasn't a day that I was sober. I couldn't, you know? Like, I'm one of those people, like, I'm addicted. I need to fix it. That's it. Like, I need to get some heroin. I can't be dope sick. It's ridiculous, you know? So I had only been 2 weeks sober out of that whole 7 years. But, yeah, so I had called them. And I'm like, yeah, you guys, I need help. Well, I would call my dad because my mom would trip out. He's like, we don't have insurance, Sarah. Like, I don't know what you're going to do. And I was like, shit, but then I get money and it'd be okay. And then it's like, okay, I want to go to rehab, but I don't need to yet. You know what I'm saying? And, like, I'm, like, down to get sober. I'm talking to my ex. I'm like, let's both go to a program. He's like, well, I don't have insurance. I'm like, let's go to West Care together. Like, even though he beat me, like, I had love for him. And at that point, I still thought, like, it was my, like, I deserve it, you know? Like, that he beats me, whatever reason he beat me for, whether it be because we didn't have money or it be something that didn't even have to do with our addiction, I was like, you know what, like, whatever, I deserve this because what he put me through. And also, like, when I would, like, get upset and I'd be like, shit, I got us addicted, like, I would, like, go and I would go ahead and, like, scratch myself with, like, bobby pin and, like, scratch my arms and shit, and I would make myself bleed, and I would do it the next day, so I would go over, like, the same cuts I'm already going over, or, like, when he would hit me and I wouldn't hit back, I would be, like, because I would be like, shit, I want to hit him, but I know he's going to hit me harder. I would, like, take it out on my own self and, like, put that anger and frustration in myself, and so I would, like, cut the back of my neck, or, like, cut my arms or something, you know? And, like, I still have scratches on my arms. They're not that bad, but it's, like, and, like, I still have, like, a scratch on my hand from him. Like, and I've never been like this. I've always loved myself, you know? I don't want people touching me. But I guess that's where addiction takes you. It takes you to places you thought you'd never be, you know? So, and he'd be like, why'd you do that? And I'd be like, because of you, or, like, I'd say, because of what I did to us, you know, like, if the heroin wasn't in the picture, we'd be fine, yada, 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 you know, and, yeah, so, this, once I got that bronchitis, and I went to go panhandle, that night, I think I went to leave, like, I was calling my friend saying, like, oh, I want to leave, da, 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 and he noticed, and he got pissed, and I'm sure he hit me, but then, like, we went to sleep. And then all of a sudden, he woke up, and he freaking punched me in the eye. He punched me in my ear. He, like, I have gauges, and he, like, made a hole with my gauge, like, into my neck. And I was like, what the heck was that for? You know what I'm saying? Because he's done that before. Like, me, like, walk into a room and just start wailing at me in the dark, and then, like, he turns the light on. I'm like, what was that for? And he just starts hitting me again. So he's psycho like that, like. And I was like, what was that for? And it's like, was it because I was going to leave or whatever? But he said he didn't even realize that he did that, that he woke up and, like, just did that. Like, he didn't even realize it. So I think I ended up panhandling that day. I'm not sure. But I ended up going to the plasma center for sure after that, and because I would give plasma. That's how, oh, yeah, now it's come back to me. I would give plasma to get money to get heroin, you know what I'm saying, twice a week. And so I went, and I never got deferred before. They deferred me because I had a huge black eye from him. And I'm like, dude, like, this is all your fault. Like, we're about to be dope sick because you gave me a black eye. So then the kid that I said got me addicted to heroin, the kid that I said got me addicted to heroin. I went over to his house. I got a fix. And I was like, I'm going to rehab. So, you know, he got me high or whatever. And then, but as I was going there, the guy that I was with at the time was like, oh, I got money. And I was like, shit, now I'm going to my ex's house and freaking, I'm doing all this stuff behind his back, even though he has stuff for us. And I would use my dad for rides. Like, I'd be like, hey, dad, yeah, I'm about to move home. Or like this time I said, oh, I'm going to go to rehab, but I need to go to where I'm staying and go get my ID. So I was just going to use my dad to get back to my boyfriend's house. So I get there, and then I'm telling my boyfriend what the situation is. Of course, we go upstairs. We smoke some heroin or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, my dad thinks that he's taking me to rehab. I need my ID. And I wanted to go to rehab. I had called my dad many times, being like, dad, I want to go to rehab, you know, when I was dope sick. But I really wanted to get clean. Like, even when I was high, like, I would say, like, we need to go to rehab, you know? Like, I want to be normal. I want to have, like, a good relationship, you know, and I want this to work. I don't want to be physically addicted to anything anymore. That was the whole thing with me. And, but once I got money, that was it, you know, like, it was whatever, like, I would still think about getting clean, but it wasn't, like, top priority, you know, because I have the money, right? So, and, like, he was about to get a settlement, so he's like, Sarah, just panhandle until I get my settlement or whatever, and I'm like, I have bronchitis, I can't be doing that, it's too goddamn hot out, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm gonna have a stroke on the side of the road. But, yeah, so that's why I went to get plasma that day, because I couldn't, because I wasn't about to panhandle. So my dad takes me back to his house. We get high. And then I'm telling him my dad wants to take me to rehab. Well, he thinks he's taking me to rehab or whatever. I come outside. I take my sunglasses off. And my dad sees my huge black eye. Okay? And he's like, really? And my dad knows that he's beat me before. And he's like, Sarah. He's like, get in the car. Make a decision right now. And I'm like, thinking to myself, like, if I go back in that house after my dad, like, made a scene, like, get in the car, da da da, you know what I'm saying? Like, my ex is, I mean, my boyfriend at the time, he's definitely gonna beat me, you know what I'm saying? And so, and my dad's like, Sarah, I'm not gonna take, because he had previously, I used him for a ride previously, and he never said, like, oh, I'm not gonna take you to rehab if you bail on me this time. Yeah, he said that this time. He's like, I'm gonna disown you, and I'm gonna not take you to rehab if you don't go right now. And I'm like, damn, yes, I love this kid, but he beats me, and he's about to beat me some more. Yes, he's in front of me right now promising me that he loves me. He's not even shedding one tear, though, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's not even showing any emotion. He's just saying, if you want to stay, stay, and I'm not going to hit you, and I love you. Like, he's not showing me no emotion or anything. He's not saying, well, let me come with you to a rehab or nothing, or let's go to rehab together right now or nothing like that, you know? So I was like, you know what? Screw this. He made like he was going to wait for me, though, once I got out of rehab. So I'm like, okay, dad. So I grabbed literally my purse because I didn't want to go upstairs because I was afraid that he was going to like hit me or something. So I just grabbed my purse that's on the couch, and I get in the car with my dad, and we go to Solutions. And as I'm going there, though, my boyfriend at the time texted me and said that he's going to wait for me. And then like 2 seconds later, he's like, no, we're done. And I was like, I should have been like, woo, but no, I wasn't. I was like, really? Really? I was like, finally, I'm going to get clean so our relationship can get better and you're going to break up with me. But once I got to Solutions and got there, I worked on myself, you know, and the therapist really helped me, like all the clinicians and everything realized that it wasn't my fault that he beat me, because you know what, before I even got him, well, not me get him addicted to heroin, but before, like, I showed him the heroin and introduced it to him and he got physically addicted because he wanted to do it, he was an alcoholic and he was beating me. And I'm not saying it's because of the alcohol, but he obviously has something mentally wrong in his head. Like, he did get in a car accident and something happened to his head. So I can't be blaming it on me, because this guy had these problems before he got addicted to heroin. So it definitely wasn't my fault that he was hitting me, and I learned that. And it definitely isn't my fault that he turned into a heroin addict, which then I already admitted that it wasn't the first guy's fault that I was with that got me addicted to heroin. Like, I admitted that it was me, you know, that got myself addicted to heroin. But I fully admitted it, like, yes, he did not get me addicted to heroin. I did it myself, because I realized that I didn't get someone addicted to heroin. I guess I had to go through that to realize that. You can't put the blame on anyone but yourself, you know? Like, it's your decision to do it or not. But once it becomes a physical thing, it's like, you know, you're powerless, it feels like. So I went through solutions, and my story is a little different because I really didn't have cravings or nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was good with the whole thing, but I didn't, like, really like the meetings. I didn't want to work the program. Like, I just wanted to be there, detox, and chill out and, like, hang out with the people, you know? But once you're there for a while, you're like, damn, I want to go to these meetings, and they do help, and, like, there is, like, some truth to what they say, right? And, like, they said one thing. They're like, play the tape. Whenever you want to go and use to play the tape, like, where are you going to end up? Where did you end up before, like, when you used? Do you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, yeah, because if I go out and do heroin just because I'm having a bad day, I'm going to end up doing it every day because I'm bored, and I'm going to do it every day, and then I'm going to get physically addicted again. And then who knows what the hell I'm going to be doing, you know, selling my body again or with another guy that's beating me because I'm making rash decisions or something, like, you know, or settling for someone or just being in a relationship to be in one because they help me, like, and that's totally not me, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, so what is it? It's almost 5 months now. I'm like 4 months and a couple weeks. I came out of solution. I went in, what was it, June 9th. 2017, but the first day that I was clean was June 10th because I went in high. And then I left on my 69th day. I went to sober living for a week, but then I didn't really like it. It was just too much structure for me. So I went to my parents' house, which is perfect because it's right up the street from Solutions, so I get to go to my meetings every day because, yes, I don't have a sponsor yet and I don't work the steps, but the meetings really help me, like, because during the whole process, I also realized that I was a sex addict, and I realized that I had been a sex addict before I was a heroin addict, but it just got worse now that, like, I'm not on drugs, you know, everything's heightened now, so now, like, I'm doing that to the fullest. And so me being able to share, like, about all my addictions in the meetings really helped, you know, because they're like, oh, well, you don't have a sponsor, you're not working the steps, you're not really trying to fix anything, why are you going to share? And I'm like, well, no, because you guys helped me. Like, me being able to get it off my chest really helps, you know? And then I'm able to process it more, honestly, and then I'm able to, like, think of ways to, you know, make my sex addiction not as bad, you know? Because when I get bored, which means that I'm not having sex or I'm not seeing my man, you know, because I'm doing really good with my sex addiction. I'm limiting it to one person, okay? I'm limiting it to my man. But, and I thought, oh, my sex addiction's better, right? No, my head is obsessive. And then, like, there was this woman, she said that you're codependent. And she said that you're usually codependent and then you become a sex addict. And I'm like, really? And I'm like, no, I'm a sex addict, right? And then I'm like, no, I ended up being codependent. My codependency stemmed off of my sex addiction. So now it's like, I don't just need to have sex, I need to see my man too. So me being like, oh, well, I'm doing really good because I'm limiting it to one guy, like, no, because I'm still obsessive and psycho in my head, and if I'm not getting it or I'm not seeing him, I'm really bored and I'm depressed and I'm in my room, and then I start thinking about doing heroin. And so it, like, all is like a big, huge circle, and it's like, oh my God, what am I going to do? So it's like, you really need to work on yourself and, like, work on every aspect of being an addict, because a lot of addicts are not just addicted to one thing, you know, you're addicted to, like, a whole bunch of shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, people could be addicted to food, people could be addicted to gambling, right? I'm addicted to freaking sex and heroin and even the coke. Like, I have a problem with doing everything excessively, you know what I'm saying? And so I just get psycho in my head, and it's like, I need a meeting. So I get my friend, and I'm like, pick me up, please. I'm having a really bad day. Like, I can't see my man, or I don't know when I'm going to see him, and, like, let's go to a meeting. And then, you know what? I share about those things. And I've had people say, well, why do you share about your sex addiction? And I'm like, you know why? Because when I'm not getting what I want, sex or being able to see my man, you know, because that's part of the codependency thing. Like, I need to see him. I need his attention. I want to do heroin. So that's why I'm sharing it, because I want to get high. You know, I am bored, and I am pissed, and I want to kill everyone, and I need to share this, okay? Because I get angry and I get anxiety when I don't get what I want. I'm an addict, okay? And so being able to share it with people really helps. And I talk about it with my friends who are fellow addicts, and they get where I'm coming from. And even if they don't, they like get my personal addiction, they know what addiction is, you know? And so they know how to help me. And I'm not a person to pray, but I did pray the other day, and it did help, I must say. Rather than praying to God, I'll probably be praying to the mountains or something, or like nature, because I'm just not very godly. But it definitely helps, like being able to get out of yourself and like ask for like something else's like help, or just like put it in your hands, you know what I'm saying? Like to get it out of your mind and your heart and just be able to be like, okay, like this is what's gonna happen, hopefully like you take care of it, you know? So praying does help me when I'm in that psycho state of mind with my sex addiction and then wanting to do heroin. But also meditating really helped me. I was totally against it through the whole program. They have these meditation classes. I even got kicked out of one of them because I was laughing. And freaking, she's like, if you're gonna laugh, leave. So I left. And then she crosses my name off the list for my attendance sheet. But I actually went to one. They had one. It's called Serenity Club out here in Vegas. And they have a meditation class at like 8:30 at night. And I went there and I was able to just like flush all the thoughts out of my head, you know, like all the angry thoughts, all like my obsessive thoughts, like even though I have my man right next to me, like I still think obsessively, you know what I'm saying? Like, and like anticipating what I'm about to do, you know? So it was just nice to like ease my mind, because like I said, I don't have a sponsor. I don't work the steps. I'm just really doing it on my own right now. Maybe one day I'll be, you know, open to that. But right now I'm just like trying to figure it out myself and, you know, just experimenting what's helping with me, but just not pick up, you know? Like, that's number one thing, like, no matter what, because I just got to play that tape where it's going to end up. Like, it's not going to end up good. I'm going to just be physically addicted again. And that's the big reason I went. Like, a lot of people go because, you know, they got addicted because of certain things or whatever, but really I just wanted to get high. That was the only reason I got addicted, and then I got physically addicted, and that's why I had to go get help, because I couldn't do it myself. I needed detox, you know what I'm saying? But once you get in the program, you realize, like, there's a whole bunch of people like me, and there's, like, a program for this shit. Like, I didn't know. Like, I didn't know there was, like, things you could do and, like, other people that are like you and like sayings and all this stuff that help you. Like, I didn't know. So, I mean, Solutions did save my life, let's be honest, though. Like, if I didn't go to Solutions, I would still be with that guy who was beating me, and he would probably be supporting my heroin habit, and that's how it would go, you know? Because if I didn't have, like, all my friends in recovery, I'd probably be with that kid. Or you know what? I'd probably be dead. Not from an overdose, but because he beat me every day, and he was about to kill me, or an overdose, who knows, I could have probably started shooting up or something. So now that I moved back in with my parents, and I'm like 4 months sober now, I had their support through the whole thing. Like, as soon as I decided to be there, they like gave me everything I wanted. They're like, we're gonna support you 100%, like here's a whole bunch of cigarettes, like whatever you need, like let us know, we're right down the street, you know? But now that I'm moved back in and they're seeing how well I'm doing, they're like really giving me a lot of trust. You know, they actually gave me a key to the house. Yeah, they had took it away and now I have one again, so that's good. And they're letting me sleep out and everything. Like, they trust me and like they're just like, let us know where you are, you know, let us know what you're doing and who you're with. And now that I'm not high, like, I understand, like, you know, they're just concerned, you know? And also, definitely now that I'm not high, they're just concerned. They want to make sure I'm doing the right thing, you know what I'm saying? They don't want me wandering around the park by myself where, like, a whole bunch of, you know, drugs got started in the first place. They're just making sure I'm doing the right thing because they're really scared that I'm going to go back to what I was doing. So every time, like, I'm not in the best mood, you know, they get scared, and I just have to, like, let them know, like, no, I'm not going back there, you know what I'm saying? I'm just going through something just like any normal person, you know? So I'm just happy because before I didn't care about what they thought, you know, and I didn't care if they trusted me, and now I do care, and now it's, like, really nice to have, like, their respect and their trust. My future before I got clean probably looked like that I was going to be with a man who beat me every day, and we were going to do heroin up until we moved to Arizona, and I found out that there's a lot of cops there. We were going to go with a whole bunch of heroin on us, so we probably would have drove down there and got caught up, and I would be in jail right now. That's probably what it would look like. Or I would just be doing heroin for as long as possible and have a really bad detox. You know, while I was in my addiction, I thought I was going to be with that guy forever. And I figured, like, oh, once I'm off heroin, he won't hit me anymore, you know? Which I don't know if that would have been the case. But I'm just a hard lover, so when I get with someone, like, I'm, like, obsessed with them. And I'm like, I'm going to be with them for the rest of my life, you know? So I've always thought, like, in the future, like, oh, I'm going to be with someone for the rest of my life. And that's always what I think about is, like, the guy I'm going to be with. But, like, I was like, damn, this just sucks, like, not having, like, a career or like not being able to support myself and being like physically addicted to something every day. Like I can't just wake up and have a nice day, you know what I'm saying? And so I'm like, when is this ever gonna end? Because for the longest time I thought I was just gonna do heroin up until I was dead, really, you know? I thought I was gonna like support that habit and do it every day and whatever, you know? But no, I'm glad it's not like that. Well, right now that I live with my parents, they kind of support me, you know, so, which they don't really mind right now since, like, I just got sober, like, 4 months ago. They're just really happy to have, like, their daughter back, basically. They tell me that all the time. But, yeah, so, I mean, they tell me, like, when are you going to look for a job? Because I do want to look for a job, but it's, like, my mind is so crazy right now and so psycho and, like, I really got to work through my sex addiction, you know, because that's something that really messes with me. It's not even, like, the sex that much anymore as much as the codependency, like, let's be honest, like, because that definitely recently, like, came out. Like, I mean, I've, like, realized that I've been, like, codependent, but that's, like, really came out, you know, and it's just, like, you know, I'm not doing drugs anymore, so I notice these things more, and they've gotten worse, you know, so, like, I'm just working on that because I know if I don't work on that, like, that I'm not going to stay sober. So right now I'm just working on staying sober. I go to a lot of meetings every day, you know, because that's what I need. You know, you got to just do what you need. And, like, I'm going to start looking for a job because I do want to, like, just make my own money and be able to, like, you know, give my parents something since I am living in their house. And I'm already 25, so I need to, like, start figuring it out, maybe go to school or something. But right now the most important thing is being sober because I was on heroin for 7 years, you know, like 18 to 25, and it's like definitely, or like 24, you know, and it's like definitely need to just focus on that, get a little more sober, and like things will fall into place, you know, like I'm looking out for myself, you know, and I feel like so my karma, I feel like it's going to come back and definitely like help me, you know, and put me in the right direction. I'll be where I need to be. I just want to say like, there is help. Like, I know, like, the physical thing is a really big deal, you know, the withdrawals, but if you go to detox, you know, they're going to help you there, and they're going to make you as comfortable as they can. And my detox wasn't terribly bad. It was pretty good while I was on the Subutex that they gave me. When I got off of it, I mean, I was coming down a little bit, you know, I was very sleepy and stuff, but it wasn't like terrifying. Like I thought it was going to be like, my biggest problem was is that I couldn't really sleep. That was like my biggest problem, you know, and then during the day I'm so tired, but I still can't sleep. That was my biggest problem. It's not as scary as you think it is. Like, just find the right place that can help you. And then once you get through the detox, you're going to be like, damn, I did that. And then you're going to want to actually work a program or, like, go to some meetings because you're going to be like, I want to be sober. Like, I don't want to be physically addicted to anything. I want my life to get better. You're going to see everyone's lives getting better around you in the program, you know, and you're going to be like, I want that. You know what I'm saying? So just do the damn thing. Go to detox, guys. Seriously, it's totally worth it.